Blog Talk Radio.
I love the opening. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to episode, let me look. It's actually looking for my give a fuck. Epiphany episode 28. Two or three of those I didn't do, but that's pretty impressive. So I'm going to give myself a round of applause. I'm already starting off crazy, right? Anyway, welcome to episode 28 of Looking for My Give a Fuck, hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd, and this is not a negative hating of the world 30-minute show. It's basically kind of positive, looking for my give a fuck. And it came about, and I always tell the story at the beginning for those who haven't heard it before and for those who just want to hear another version of what happened and how I got to looking for my give a fuck and how, honestly, it's really about looking, how do I say, looking for something to keep us going, maybe, looking for something to relight the candle of life, I guess, or the candle of purpose. I have no idea. I just know that this went down in 2021 COVID really messed a lot of people up, including myself. And ultimately, I'm just like, you know, it was hard to give a fuck about anything. Again, what I mean about give a fuck, it's not like I don't give a fuck about you. No, it was hard to drum up that passion for anything outside of myself or even internally. I mean, it was just really difficult. We all probably experienced that. And then they open the floodgates and say, hey, you guys, come on out. Let's start to go back to work. Let's go watch movies. Let's go do sports. Let's go clubbing. Let's do this and that. And you're kind of going, yeah, but I could get sick. It could shut down again. I don't want to get my hopes high. You know, really, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to kind of like live and forget about the purpose of life or forget about that passion. And that's where I was. And then, as the story goes, and before I get into the quick story as to how I got to this this show, this platform, and what it means to me and how I can share with others, and even if I'm only listening to myself, as I've been told, it's okay, because this is a great therapy for me, and it's free, right? Today I'm not feeling well. Yeah, I know. You're like, I don't really care. Go on with the show, right? No, but I don't. I woke up this morning. It has to do with my mom. That's why. I woke up this morning. I mean, I must have been coughing all night. I wake up and I go down to get some tea or something. And there she is. Da-da, take this. And you never question when your mom says take something. It was a brand new bottle. I open up and I take more than enough. And needless to say, I kind of turn it over after I've taken it. And it says, nighttime medicine will knock you out. And she's like, oh, it works well. So, I'm tired. But more importantly, I don't know what happened. I just had a lot of, I think I've been coming down with this flu for about a week now. So not feeling well for all those friends out there who want to send me love. I am accepting it. Okay. So, oh, and I'm having problems breathing. I hope that's not COVID. That'll piss me off because all I do is talk all day. And even on this show. Anyway, getting back to what this show is about and how it came about. In fact, this morning prior to doing the show, I was sitting at that nook with my mom, and I made a statement to mom, I got to do the show because we were eating breakfast or something. I said, I got to do the show. I said something smart, and she said, I will not be under this table. You know, my mom's a feisty 82, 83-year-old, and she stopped pounding at some juncture. And I said, really? Mom, you're going to fight me? She said, yeah, I have nothing else better to do. And that was kind of cool. That was fun. I'm going to go back to my mom and a quick conversation we had. But for those who don't know what this is about, my mom and my brother and myself, we were downstairs one Friday. My brother comes to see my mom every Friday for about 4 hours. She's been doing it for years. And usually, you know, even if I'm home, that's their time. But this time I happened to be downstairs. There was this heated conversation, or the conversation got heated as I presented because they're very serious liberals. And I had recently decided that I want either to be independent or conservative, and I changed everything to Republican. And so they were going at it. And prior to me even you know, converting to conservatism, right? My brother and my mother are the smartest people in the world. And so therefore, even when I'm on their side, my input was like, shut up. We're so beyond that. You know, not in a bad way. It's just when you're around geniuses, it's really crazy. So now I have two geniuses and I am going against them, right? Anyway, and needless to say, the conversation wasn't going very well with me. Every time I would throw something in there, you know, my mom would say, don't talk about that. Or if you do, you have to move out. I'm like, what? And she can do that, right? That's my mom, right? So anyway, ultimately, I'm looking under the table, this little nook that I was sitting with my mom. Like I said, this morning, she threatened to knock me out because I, you know, I said something. She's just violent, right? Violent in love. How's that? I'm looking under the table at the time with my mom and my brother. And my brother's like, what are you doing? I said, looking for my give a fuck. And we just started laughing. But then also it was a break in conversation where my mother and my brother and myself, we started listening to each other. I'm not saying it's constant. I mean, a lot of times, like right now, this damn balloon thing I want to talk about that's been hovering at once. I guess they shot it down yesterday, hovering over the United States, China, you know, balloon. I have a different take than my mother has on it. And again, because of that interaction where I said, looking for my give a fuck, we've been able to communicate a little better. And then ultimately, the next day, my brother came up and he gave me this book and he said, hey, it's a really good book. You need to read this. And I know you guys are familiar with, and if you're not familiar with, at least I'll give the title of the book, which might trigger, like, I know that. The old book is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It's a great book. But the book that my brother gave me, because he said, I think you're aware of this, or this book had done some really good work with him. I didn't even know he was on any type of spiritual journey, spiritual anything. But obviously he was. And the name of the book and the show is based on the principles of the book called A New Earth Awakening to Your Life Purpose. And it's, again, by Eckhart Tolle. And the reason I like that, remember, let's go back to the beginning of the show. COVID, all of us were like, what happened? Like, we just went from speeding to stop. Like, it's like, how about this? We're speeding, stop, and it was a 2-3 years kind of going on traffic jam in California on the 405. If you guys don't know anything about the 405, look it up. And for those of you who know things about the 405, I know you're sitting there going, oh, my God, and yeah, that's painful, right? And so going back, looking for something outside of sitting in that that traffic jam, and not knowing now, they lifted the traffic jam, it's starting to move, but we're afraid. Like, do we get off? Is that off-ramp going to be closed? Can I get back on the off-ramp? I'm using, you know, metaphorically how I had been feeling. I'm sure a lot of people were feeling like, what the heck is going on? So as I listened to this book, I read it and I did listen to it. I advise everyone to listen to it. No, I'm not getting any money or any accolades off this, except that I just love things that have tools that help people individually work. And then if you do still need your psychological support, your psychiatrist, psychologist, I'm all there. I've had all of them plus two. I still have one. But a lot of times when you use the tools from this book, what are triggers, which say this, all of a sudden I'm driving. I like to use this metaphor, and I'm pissed off in traffic and someone cuts me off. And now I'm sitting in traffic. I'm fucking pissed. When this book really hit was, again, in traffic, listening to it, and it said, you know, as I'm sitting there in traffic, I'm going to be in traffic, I'm in California, right? I mean, just get over it. But I'm pissed off at the person in front of me because they're one car in front of me ahead of me, right? You know, that's really going to make a difference on me getting home at 5 o'clock or 5:01, right? So it was just crazy. And all of a sudden, listening to the book, it talks about tools. Hey, stop. Where did that come from? How come that you have an automatic response to something? Where did it come from? How did you get there? What do you want to do with it? Let's look back. Let's take a minute. Let's review or leave it the fuck alone. And so what happened is that I began to realize that a lot of things that I was doing, they were just by default. And I wondered, wait a minute. If I can go back and figure out default, if I don't like that particular default, can I shift it? Can I do whatever? Of course you can. You can shift your mind. You can honor where it came from. Your family, your society, culture, whatever. There's these automatics. I always go back to two-year-olds, right? I just love my two-year-olds metaphorical, because two-year-olds remember the terrible twos. The two-year-old is at that point where they're like, I don't want to do all this shit you guys are putting on me. But then we break them, right? Because we have to, because they're two-year-olds, right? Or at least we place these boundaries. But guess what? The boundaries are based on what? Our parents' boundaries, our parents' form of discipline. Right or wrong, that's not about today. That's not it. It's just going back to that tree and honoring in totality the good and bad that we have in family. Or friends, or however we may have grown up. everyone's like, I'm pissed off at my mother, I'm pissed off at my father, my cousin, I hate my whole life, I'm adopted, this is the worst thing in the whole world. I totally get that. But if you're still grieving, it is a part of you, okay? It is really a part of you. You can't cut off your family. I know a person that was going through the transition, I can't, a person that was going, I was a transgender person, and a comment was made to me that, well, we just get rid of our old self, and they filter into the new self, or they merge into the new, whether it's a girl to a boy, boy to a girl, I don't know. But when they shared that with me, I kind of had to say, with all due respect, that's part of who you are. Now, you might want to introduce the second half of you, the second thing, but you cannot separate your soul, your mind. You can't separate because you feel a particular way. You must bring in that part of you, and you must allow it to change with you. Why do we do that? Why do we make change, and we don't talk to our bodies about it, or our mind, or our soul? We just do shit. And then when our bodies and souls and minds go back to default, we mad, right? So anyway, that's where, going back to the person that was transgender, it was very, oh my God, I can't get rid of my life to create a new life. No, you can't. So going back to families and the importance of families, because we get our good and bad, but see, with this book and with life in general, it takes away from the blame game. Okay, it's there. If I wanted to blame, I have enough tools to blame everyone in the world for my successes and my failures, or the reason I'm not doing as well today as I was yesterday because of someone who fucked me off. I mean, we all got that right. We can do that. I mean, being born black, there you go. Being born a woman, there you go. Being born from Iowa, that they didn't even know there were black people in Iowa, there you go. Okay, so you have a lot of things that you can blame things on, and it's fair game. It's fair game. As a two-year-old, you have to conform with whoever you lived with their rules and regulations that were based on what? Somewhere their parents. Parents don't get to go to, oh, I'm pregnant, you must take 9 months of parenting classes. Right? We should do that, right? It's 9 months of taking care of yourself and about 10 months worth of medical testing so they make sure that, your kids or child's okay. But we never really take time out. In fact, most of us are thinking about when we're pregnant, our baby shower, the kids have all the fingers and, all that other stuff. But we're not really thinking about the parenting aspect. I mean, with me, I only gained 10 pounds, but I was thinking, my God, how am I going to get rid of this weight? So again, our minds, our parenting skills, things that come to us come from family, which good, bad, or indifferent. However, with this book, it tells you, wait a minute, Shirley, you can acknowledge your trigger. You're pissed off in traffic. Why are you pissed off? It has nothing to do with being in traffic, is you're not in control, you're not this, you're not that. And ultimately, you begin to, in my experience, say, you know what, I can shift on that. I can shift. I want to shift. I don't have to go back to my mama saying, Mama, you did this and that. No, I don't have to do all that. I can just kiss my mom in the forehead and say, thank you for giving me all things that you have given me and allowing me to learn the best way I can. I think a part of parenting is that we tell our children to go out there. One thing we say is make sure you act right in public or around family, because if you don't, that's a reflection of who we are, right, as parents. We put a lot of stock in who we are as parents, right? But ultimately, I think now it's kind of, hey, listen, like I have my son. Quan, there's a lot of stuff that comes with me and my son. And Quan's like, yep, okay. And he really decided to work on what was best for him. Is that selfish? No. Is it hardcore? Because a couple times I've had conversation with my son who has shared with me, the reason this and that is because of you. I wanted to, choke him out, but I couldn't because he was doing what he was allowed to do. So ultimately he said, Mom, although you did these things, I do it a little different for my kids. Again, that's getting rid of people say the curse. There's no such thing, in my opinion, as a curse. It's just the way it is. I made that up. Just the way the shit is. It's the way shit happens. Right. So again, with this book, it's so amazing that you can take and say, why do I do that? Why did I get upset? What happened here? Now, I have a lot of friends that go to psychiatrists, psychologists, or just, group therapy. And everyone, if you really stop and listen to the group therapy or when you go to a psychiatrist, it's real easy. Take a course in psychology just because you can online for free these days. We all have the same issues. It stems from our parents, where we are, we don't know where we're going, we all got that. And only thing a psychiatrist, psychologist can do is help the talk therapy, give you a little medication so that when those triggers hit or to avoid the triggers, that it would be a safer situation. Ultimately, you'll get on a lot of meds. You have no triggers, but you have no emotion, and you choke people out and go to jail for life. That's probably true. But what I want to say is this. If you have a psychiatrist or you're going to someone, even if it's your friend, if you don't utilize the tools in this book, the tools are, hey, stop. Why did I get there? What's happening? Maybe even talk to a parent saying, hey, did grandpa do this? Did grandma do this? Not accusing them of anything wrong, but where did this come from? Not too long ago, my mother mentioned that we did have a family member that had mental illness. I'm like, dude, that could have been a conversation 50-some-odd years ago. But again, it didn't come up. And, you know, maybe I got the distant family members mental illness, which was depression. But by the way, when you're a genius and you're trying to do 100 things and you go to law school and you have more degrees than God, you are either insane or insane. Okay. So I just consider myself professionally insane and awesome. So anyway, let's say you go to your psychiatrist. You're like, you know, I noticed that every 10 steps I have to stop and take a break, and it's really interfering with me getting work done. And, you know, it's not physical. It's just, you know, I have to, it's like OCD. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I have to stop. And, you know, it happens when you have checked out a couple of things, when you go to your psychiatrist, your psychologist, or whoever you speak to in order for help therapy, they're able to go, oh, okay. They can pull their tools out from learning. Counselors and psychs, their job is to listen, but it feels really good when someone comes in and says, you know, I have this trigger, because they can then use other tools to help you get to that trigger, acknowledge that trigger, and shift it if you want. Now, some people will say psychiatrists or psychologists, they just want to keep you on for the dollar and cent. That probably is true. They want you to stay around. You pay $100 or their insurance, but not today. There's too many people that need help. So they're not trying to play games like, okay, we'll talk about your mother next week and your dad next week or for the next 10 years. No, they're not like that. They're looking for tools to help you survive. Okay, because all the talk therapy in the world only works to a certain level. All the medication only leads to other medications outside of the psychological needs. Okay, so if you go to them, I got some anger management. Okay, I'm pissed off, man. I'm in anger management because I had a fight with my boyfriend and I went to jail and they made me do this anger management. So when you're with the counselor, you're blaming the anger on everyone else, I'm sure, instead of saying, you know what? I read this book and I started kind of going back to finding where these things came from. And I want to start with my grandfather. He was he yelled a lot. And bring it all the way down to where you are today, or up to where you are today, however you want to look at that, and be able to go, wait a minute, wait, I can do something about this. Or how about this? Okay. I got where it came from. That's just a part of me. Because sometimes when you can accept just all the fuck-ups and everything you are cool with self. You are not trying to go outside of who you are, or you're not trying to shift on it. But one goddamn thing you can no longer do is blame anyone else. That's why I like this book. That's why I like, you know, figuring out how to live within these trigger things. And every single day, there's a trigger or something that will come up, and there will be an automatic response to that. Again, a couple of shows ago, I told you where the JT Network, Mr. JT, he used to say, no one's going to get out of here alive. And I was like, that was years ago, he said. I'm like, to myself, it never bothered me. I'm like, shoot, by the time I'm ready to go, I got this. There will be a new portal I can go to. I keep moving, right? I mean, that was in my mind because it didn't attack me. I didn't get a feel. And maybe now that I'm older, and a few weeks ago, he says, we're all going to die. I'm like, oh, fuck, wait, whoa. It's Monday morning. I don't know what day it was, but I was like, that's just real fucked up to start my day off. We're just going to die, right? And then I think it really hit me in the gut, like, oh, my God, right? And then I was walking my dog, and I realized, okay, why is this bothering me? Where did it come from? How come I'm afraid? Is it the teachings of the church that if you don't live a certain way, you'll die and you'll go to hell or whatever? Or is it that I never had to face it because facing death is very painful? And recently my dog died. I almost thought I was just going to it was tough. That's all I have to say. But I didn't know how to process it. I didn't understand. And so ever since Jay has brought, I mean, it's hardcore. I mean, who the hell wants to hear the real, right? Who wants to hear it and then deal with it? That's the thing. We do a lot of talking, not a lot of listening. We do a lot of hearing, but we don't do anything after that. I had to sit down and do some real shit on death. I couldn't even look it up, talking about, is there a alternative realm, right? No, seriously. And it scared me. And it scared me because that was a trigger. And it was because we don't talk about that stuff in our family. However, I did talk to my mom. And one of the reasons my mother keeps us all very close, let's use the nook in the kitchen as a metaphorical reason for keeping close. When my grandmother died of suddenly, I think she was 60, 61 years old. That's not too old. She was in Iowa, and my mother had to get from California to Iowa. And she said it was the most, she just was frozen. And to have to get to her mom, who had already passed, because grandma just died of a sudden heart attack, she said she never, ever wanted her children to experience that 5 or 6 hour that it took her to get home. Well, I said, Mom, that's the most beautiful thing I ever heard. She goes, yeah, I said, it's the most selfish thing I've ever heard. She said, why? Well, that's honestly, you guys, if you know anything about our family, we don't live more than 20 miles away from my mother. I have wanted so many times to go and move elsewhere out of the country, but that settled in my mind how she, the fear, she wanted us to be close, and we've been close, and it's been fine. It definitely has been fine. However, let's go forward. I have a child. I told my son, you know, he's from Vietnam, and even before that, I'm like, Kwani, when you get out of high school, do you want to just go and backpack around the world? He goes, what are you doing? I said, I don't want you to ever be afraid to travel. I don't want you to ever, ever be afraid to go outside of the realm. I want you to know that if something happens to me, getting to me is not the scary part, but knowing if I cross over that, you can feel me, and I'm there with you no matter where you are, on a plane or next to me. And it was very, like, he was like, oh, okay, you're kind of strange. However, so that was it with my mom. My mom didn't do well with death. The most important person in her life died, sudden heart attack. It took her 7-8 hours to get there. And she just said, I'm trying to figure out to explain how she told me she felt. She was, what is that? The word just won't come out, but she couldn't move. She said she just couldn't move. And she doesn't even know how she presented it to Graham. So those are things you deal with. So I had to deal with that. And so now that I have this story with my mom about why she feels a particular way, and I'm like, oh, okay, so a lot of these fears sometimes are coming from a parent, but a parent never really told you why. Until, like I said, I asked mommy, I'm like, hey, what's up with that? The other thing is that as I started thinking about my life and the fact that I don't want this to be morbid. I just want it to be a reality, because if you're afraid of death, if you're afraid of life, look and see where those triggers are coming from in your family, and do the best you fucking can, because that's what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I fucking can, knowing that, hey, I'm going to die. That's just fucking me all up, right? But I'm going to do the best I can. But also, I'm 56. I'll be 57 this year. I've had friends that are a little older. I've had younger friends that are dying. I mean, this thing of dying is real. It's starting to cut close to home. It really is. My mom's 80-something, and I think to myself, my mom could die one day. We have this conversation, and she's fearing that I would go before her. So there's some real stuff there. But what we're starting to do is say, you know what? It's going to happen. Chill out. I know where my fears come from. I'm with you. I'm not 8 hours away. If something happens to me or something happens to you, we're as of right now, we're very close and we're very together. So which will help her ultimately with her fear of death and not being there. And it just helps me with understanding that although I don't agree with her, because I think my child should travel the world 10 times over. In fact, live out of this country if he possibly could. I respected it. So again, the advantages of this book is to look at and to ask questions of parents. Again, parents, we did the best that we possibly could as parents with what we had. Our tools are normally from our parents direct, right? And then the outer influences. A lot of times, some people are on survival, which really shifts the parenting. It's about surviving, not living, not loving, right? It's just surviving. Well, after COVID, everyone realized there is such thing as we were surviving, but we weren't living. But when we came out of COVID, people were always surviving. It just shut down. And so now people are like, okay, I'm going to start living, and they don't know where to start. They don't even know what it means, because we're all on survival mode. And that's pretty sucky, because first of all, we're blessed to survive, but for those of you who believe in God, like I said, I believe in God too, but mine might be different than yours. You know, do you really think he put you on this earth for you to be miserable? And if he did, wouldn't that be a selfish God, right? But he did put our families here. And he did put the physical realm, however it works, in play when we're here. So we got to work with what we got, right? And let's do the best we possibly can. Again, I'm going to reiterate. If there's something inside of you that triggers, or someone says something to you, or a rejection, I know that I used rejection. I was not having it. You were not relationship. You were not going to reject me because I'm going to get back in, and I'm going to stab you in the neck, in the mind. But I'm going to get you over, stab your palm and do something, not physical, just mind thinking, mind fuck, right? Oh, because I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you hurt my feelings. Do you know how many years I've wasted trying to do that? That's so ridiculous. When someone rejects you, it's just what it is. It's just a rejection. You can call it rejection, or it's just, you know, rejection might be a little painful, but it is what it is. No one has to like you. No one has to hire you. No one has to do a goddamn thing. That's called rejection. If you cannot get through this world knowing that sometimes something that you want, you're not going to get, good luck. And apparently people are having a problem with that too. Okay, going back to, let's just use us as a totality, the United States of America and our triggers, right? I'm going to use this, my 3 minutes left, but we all know about this changing subject, shifting. We know about this damn balloon that came from China that's just like chilling. Biden says, hey, I told him to shoot it down Wednesday. Okay, isn't Biden the commander-in-chief? Next phase. However, the military told me they're going to wait until it is safe. Okay, motherfucker, you commander-in-chief. There's a whole bunch of casualty in war, with all due respect. Okay? Shoot that motherfucker down. In fact, how did he even get even close to the United States? Oh, y'all ain't doing your job. And you're going to wait till Wednesday, and then you're going to shoot it down in the waters? Okay, no. No, first of all, if you're afraid for it to go on the land, what makes you think that just because it went into the waters, it has not poisoned us, or it won't poison our water life, the sea life? I mean, I don't know. Going back to triggers, though, check this out. Most of us are like, well, the government will handle it, even me. Why is that? Because, you know, we have never thought the government would do anything, and COVID has really helped us a lot, and we're questioning a lot. But the government got it, so we're watching this fucking balloon, excuse my language, just traveling, just chilling. It's kind of like Martin and the guy that comes through the window. What are you doing? You know, just chilling. You know, he's on the full floor, but he's showing five hands or something like that, whatever. The bottom line is, like, if you had a balloon just hovering over your home, just your home, and it was just sitting there staring at you, would you wait for the government to come and not blush it down? No. Because, you know, I think if you really think of our triggers, we protect ourselves, right? I think everyone has that that trigger. It's like, okay, we're in danger, protect, get this done. But trip how the United States of America or society is sitting there going, okay, there's this balloon. Oh, we'll take pictures. This is really good for Instagram and TikTok and TikTok, whatever they do, right? Oh, the government got this. The government got it. We talk about this book and put that into play. Who? We're letting this government sing for us. And did they fall asleep at the wheel from Wednesday to yesterday? So I'm using that as, again, the triggers and the things that you do automatically or not do automatically. Spontaneously, you know, again, it comes from family, comes from this, from that, but then also society in which we're in. I don't see too many people uprising about these goddamn balloons, right? I think it's quite crazy. They also have to monitor that, because since that pissed me off, I'm like, why am I upset with this balloon and the government took forever to blow it down? Because what did it trigger? Security. We expect our families to take care of us, and if they don't, okay, fine. But the government, we have been expecting them to take care of us, and oh my God, I'm going, oh my God, wait. Are they taking care of us? Is this a game? What's going on? I don't know. But that's going to be something great to talk about next week, because I only got 15 seconds. Hey, you guys, I got through today. Thank you. Thank you for being part of the show. Whatever my mother gave me, I'm going to give her a big kiss because I feel a little better. But until next week, I'm signing off, but I'm also reminding you guys to constantly and continue making good memories. Have a good week.